Off the Ball Breakfast.
I've used Rory McIlroy's achievement as personal growth for myself. You can overcome adversity to lead your business in Q2.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.
Good evening, you're welcome along to Tuesday night's Off the Ball. It's Owen here with you until 10 o'clock this evening. Loads coming your way between now and then. Our half seven is going to be Anthony Nash discussing all things hurling. So the year is now over for 11 teams that were chasing Liam McCarthy at the outset of the championship, and that seems to be the big talking point this week in the world of hurling. So we'll get Anthony Nash's take on that from half seven. Between 8 and 9 then is episode 10 of 10 of our Diverted podcast. So the finale, we're in Argentina, we're going to a Newell's Old Boys game in Rosario, we're going to Boca Juniors. It's a bit of a deep dive in Argentinian football this week. And then after 9 o'clock we've got the football show, and we're going to be catching up with author Simon Cooper that hour, author of Soccernomics, author of Football Against the Enemy. He's going to be chatting to us. He's going to be appearing in Dalkey for the Book Festival next month, so we'll be chatting to him around that as well between 9 and 10. As ever, you can get in touch with us by sending us a WhatsApp. Our number is 0879 180 180, or you can get us on social media as well. At Off the Ball is our handle. Oisín Coyne is going to be bringing you the news round this evening. Oisín, you're very welcome. How are you doing?
Thanks very much, lads.
Big debut tonight. And Mick McCarthy is here in studio as well. How are you, Mick?
Old veteran.
Absolutely seasoned veteran at this stage. So between 8 and 9, as I mentioned, is the end of Diverted. This has been a series that's been dropping on podcast first every Tuesday morning for the last 10 weeks, and then we play out, I was going to say the full thing on the radio, but I've been given 1 hour of radio time every week, and I've taken liberties with that by producing something that's just run way longer than that. So this week, I think, is a bit of a monster of an episode to close out the thing.
Yeah, because, I mean, an hour sometimes isn't even an hour. You take away news a couple of ad breaks and so on. So, yeah, I mean, we're getting about half of it. But, like, you know, it's a good half, Owen. It's a very, very, like, I mean, if you want to look at the whole premise of the podcast, I suppose, is that you went to South America with the intention of being in Argentina for the World Cup. You didn't make it. Argentina won the World Cup. You had the worst case of FOMO ever had by a human being. And then you had this amazing journey to get there. And it all culminates in you being there.
Absolutely.
At the end, but nowhere near the World Cup.
And of course,
the story today is just beautifully wrapped up. You'd swear it was carved by a skilled producer.
I don't want to give too much away for what we're going to play between 8 and 9, but one of the stories that isn't in the 8 to 9 hour that we had to cut out for time reasons, because of course this is a serious sports podcast on South American sport, one of the stories that we cut out is about Welsh rugby. So for anybody who's unfamiliar with the story, there's Welsh towns in the middle of Patagonia where they speak Welsh, and there's like a Welsh dragon that icon appears in loads and loads of different places, and everybody's got like surnames such as Hughes and Davis, and they all love rugby. So that's a big part of this week's episode, which was a source of fascination for me. Of course, here on Off the Ball, we love Welsh rugby. We've got a great relationship with Welsh rugby, and there's a so that's going to be a big part of what's on the podcast only this week as well. So hopefully,
as well as the culmination, of course, of your hitchhiking journey.
Yes, of course. Did I make it all the way south? Spoiler. Did I survive, or did I?
Can I ask you? Is it giving you the itch now to go off somewhere else, maybe like Southeast Asia, and do this all over again? Diverted series 2.
What I'm supposed to say is no to that.
Well, can I tell you something about that, Oisín? Is that Owen, obviously, presenter of Off the Ball, which I produce every night, and like, you know, in here for the long run, you know, is like, was surprised to hear at the end of the podcast that Owen is like, who knows where I'll end up next? My God. Who knows what the next journey might bring?
We're writing that off.
So I'm waiting for that letter of resignation someday.
There we go. One quick piece of feedback to it. The social media post has been liked by the Newell's Old Boys English account. And as it turns out, yesterday was the birthday, the 174th birthday of Isaac Newell himself, or something like that. But a big birthday for him yesterday. So this is kind of timed perfectly with his birthday. And I'd like to say that it is all deliberate. And they've got in on the social media action this afternoon.
Stick that on the CV.
All joking aside, amazing work. You'll hear a really, really good piece of it on the radio tonight, but people should listen to the full podcast. And congratulations on having your spare time back.
Thank you very much.
Because it's been a long, long couple of months.
Yeah, weekends and Tuesday evenings are free once again. So that's coming your way between 8 and 9 tonight. We should get cracked into the news round. And the news round is with UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action. And Oisin, I know you're starting with some potential team news for Ireland's opponents next month.
Yeah, I suppose bad news for any Liverpool fans that might want to see one of their former players. Sadio Mane is not going to play for Senegal in the upcoming internationals against the Republic of Ireland and against England after asking to be excused for the two friendly games. He's the only major absentee from a 26-man squad unveiled on Tuesday for the clash with Hamer Halgrim's side at the Aviva Stadium. That's next Friday, the 6th of June. And of course, the game against England in Nottingham 4 days later. Reports suggest, though, that it is just a personal decision from Mane, nothing major there. But there are returns to the squad after missing the March qualifiers for seven players, including Chelsea striker Nicholas Jackson and Lilyman Ndiaye from Everton.
We're obviously not up to Mane's standard.
I was thinking that, yeah. Well, the fact that he's pulling out the England game, I suppose, makes it a little bit less insulting.
Yeah, true.
But, that's funny.
One less man for Nathan Collins to handle.
Yeah, I think the whole Mane thing is actually, you know, it's not to be too kind of Anglo-centric in our watching of football. It wasn't the case when he was at Bayern Munich, for example. I forgot Sadio Mane existed. Do you know what I mean? He's just like a Liverpool legend, you know what I mean, from the past. The idea that he's still playing and playing international football, I just hope players always remember. You disappear over there, no one's going to remember. No one's just people are going to just think of you as former footballers.
He's a
like 21-year-old former footballer, John Duran, should know all about that now.
Yeah, even seeing the match of the day, goal of the season roundup, and seeing that goal from Duran back in September, which was in the six or eight contenders for it
against Everton.
That,
yeah,
that feels extra long ago because he's not in the league anymore.
Yeah,
like you do get that kind of wistful sense of nostalgia when clips from early in the season are played back at the end of the year in May. But just seeing a player who just doesn't exist in our orbit anymore,
yeah,
hammers that home a little bit.
Exactly, and he's not playing in Spain or Germany or anything like that where you might see him from time to time. The only time you'll see him is a viral clip of him getting sent off.
Sadio Mane is only 2 months older than Mo Salah. Mo Salah's been talking about playing till 39, 40 today, I see, which I actually wouldn't put past him, to be fair. So that's the news on Sadio Mane. Where do you want to go next, Oisin?
I suppose we look at the Conference League tomorrow night. Real Betis manager Manuel Pellegrini has been speaking to the press this evening, and he says Antony told him he wanted revenge after Manchester United ousted their £86 million man by sending him away on loan to the Spanish club. On Wednesday night, he will get the chance to lift the Europa League Conference League trophy with La Liga side Betis if they beat Chelsea in Rocklow in Poland. The 25-year-old winger has enjoyed a far better fortune in Spain than in England, performing well with the help of Pellegrini, who has been delighted with his performances.
Well, I think that I can be proud, but I think that Antony did all what he could to do it. I spoke with him before he came in to Betis. He told me that he was not playing because he was not happy, but he had a lot of complaint about what he has done also, so he wanted revenge, and here in Betis I think that he had it, and he did it in the way we know that he can do it, because it's not easy for you to pay 100 million for a player, and Antony is a very good player, and I am absolutely sure that this is a huge time here in Betis to continue improving his career.
Yeah, this is kind of like a further insult for Manchester United fans. I know he's only on loan at Real Betis, he's still technically one of those players, but to see Antony and Scott McTominay win silverware in the same week would be
quite something. Yeah, or Sancho on the other side. One of them are going to win it.
Yeah, well, that is true, actually.
You know, so it's like, yeah, it's just interesting that, like, I don't know, though. At the same time, I have to say, I do enjoy a good revenge tour, and I think it's great that Antony has been given Manchester United second thoughts by the fact that he's over, you know, playing brilliantly for Betis. And it does probably lead to the idea that United's a basket case at which nobody can succeed. But I think we saw enough of Antony, didn't we? So at Premier League level anyway.
And also he was signed by the manager who got the best tune out of him at Ajax back. Like, it's not like he wasn't a Ten Hag signing.
Yeah, I wouldn't get too kind of wistful and thinking, oh, we've made a terrible mistake here, let's amend it in the summer. I think it's one of those moves that could work out well for both teams. I don't think Manchester United need to, even if they'd feel like they could probably recruit more recoup more of the money by bringing him back in the summer, I think you're just better off just cutting ties.
Do you think he will go back to Betis, or do you think some other club, bigger club, is going to pick him up now?
He's got a contract till 2027, so will he be able to claw back enough the transfer fee? Like, you're not going to get anywhere near the transfer fee, obviously, you paid for him at this stage, but just something that's acceptable to the coffers at Manchester United.
Just wonder, at what point do Manchester United have to stop taking these haircuts, or it's going to, you know, we're talking about a tightening of the belt a little bit this year, having not qualified at all for Europe next year and losing money in the Adidas deal and everything like that, right, due to their placement. But it still doesn't feel like they're in the financial mess that any other club would be. And I know they have huge revenues, but if you're going to sell Anthony after buying him for 100 million for 25 million, you know, while you're still probably paying Ajax for him.
Yeah,
it does feel like at some point there has to be a red letter day for Man United in terms of their finances.
And you'd think it's coming down the tracks next season as well, given it is the first year we've seen without European football in quite some time. So we'll see. But there also, the other thing about sending him out on loan for another season is that you're not paying his wages, or at least not paying 100% of the wages. So this time next year, obviously, they'd need to cash in on him. But maybe they'll get something for him this year. He probably is worth more than 20 million at this point.
I don't know. It depends to who. I don't think he's... Look, I'm far from an expert, but having seen him and then having... Red others would say the same thing. He's not quick enough for the Premier League for his position, you know, and maybe he is in Spain. Maybe you can fit into systems better in other leagues and then his footballing talent shines through. But I just don't think he has the pace.
I saw him play once for United. It was in that crazy game against Chelsea. It was a 3-3 at the end of last season.
Oh, yeah.
And United were not good that night, obviously. Chelsea weren't great either. But I remember, was it one of Anthony's better games? He got a brilliant assist. There's a cross from the right-hand side. And there are glimpses when you watch him, or certainly when we watched him at Manchester United, that he does have that ceiling that he was purchased for. But it was just the consistency that he was missing out on.
This week on Diverted, it's the series finale, Argentina Part 2. It's been emotional, but my hitchhiking journey finally comes to an end, and I finally, kind of, come to terms with the fact that I missed out on the Buenos Aires celebrations after the 2022 World Cup.
A lot of people who I haven't seen since the World Cup would just greet you with, "We won the World Cup." Instead of hello, you go, "Hey, we won the World Cup."
We'll also be speaking to people in the Welsh regions of Patagonia.
When the Welsh came to Patagonia, it was so important to them to maintain their culture, their language, their religion, and their way of living life.
And we will visit Newell's Old Boys, the club that connects both Maradona and Messi in Rosario.
Bueno, ese equipo, 74, 88, 1988, 90, 91, 92, 2004, 2003. Mm-hmm. Esas son todas las estrellas que tienen.
Diverted. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts.
On Off the Ball.
Leeds United coming to Dublin, Oisin.
Yeah, I suppose our resident Leeds fan Cameron Hill will be looking forward to this one. Now, they're going to take on AC Milan at the Aviva Stadium in a pre-season friendly on the 9th of August, Saturday the 9th of August. It'll be Leeds' final friendly before they return to the Premier League a week later. The fixture will also serve as an international date for Milan ahead of their Serie A season, which is set to kick off on the weekend of the 23rd of August. It'll be the first time the two sides have met since the UEFA Champions League group stages in the 2000 and 2001 season, having only ever met three times in all competitions previously. Leeds will return to Dublin, as 9 years since the last time they played in Dublin as well. So a good chance for all those old school diehard Leeds fans to get to see them on Irish soil.
Yeah, absolutely. There'll be big Irish interest in that, you'd suspect. Shamrock Rovers have made a signing.
Yeah, they've completed the signing of striker John McGovern from Dungannon Swifts for an undisclosed fee. He scored 14 league goals in 29 appearances last season in the Irish League, having joined Swifts from his local club, Newry City. The 22-year-old is eligible to play for Rovers from the 1st of July. That is subject to international and domestic clearance. So another big name, well, I wouldn't say big name yet, maybe could be going down the line in the League of Ireland.
Absolutely. I think you were at this earlier on, the Republic of Ireland press conference.
Yeah, this was a great chat we had with Aaron Healy, who says, I suppose, the fun she had during her time in the A-League. Obviously, she's a new recruit into the squad. She's had the last couple of months now playing in Australia in the A-League, where she's kind of really found herself again. And last week, the 24-year-old San Diego-born attacker was called into the squad by Carlo Ward ahead of these Nations League encounters against Turkey, which is on Friday, and then Slovenia next week.
And Healy qualifies through her Clonus-born grandfather, Hugh Maguire, and revealed that it was a long-held ambition for her to wear the green jersey.
It's something I've been working hard for and something I'm super grateful for, and it's super exciting to be here. And yeah, I was super excited. I think they're definitely climbing and they're putting effort in to just make big strides, and I'm excited to kind of to be a part of that and hopefully make an impact on the team. I think I just want to get my foot in the door and get comfortable. I've already been welcomed from the girls and from the coaching staff, and it's a great group of people, and so I think I feel comfortable and I'm ready to put my best foot forward and hopefully get some playing time, but you never know, whatever is needed of me. I just like to be involved in a lot of the play and I like to be creative. I think I'm really inconsistent in the way I play, and I guess not inconsistent, but you know, I'm hard to read. So I give a defender just a lot to defend against. And so I think that's what you guys can be expected of me.
You missed your headline there. Erin Healy opens up on grave inconsistency in game. She's playing for Adelaide, is it?
Yeah, Adelaide over in the A-League. But like, what a time for her to come into the squad as a newcomer. And then you've got Katie McCabe entering the camp then as well, like just off the back of winning the Champions League. Like, to be able to be like a sponge around her the next few days is going to be brilliant for her.
I heard a clip earlier of her talking about her granddad, and sometimes I think we overlook this stuff when we think of, you know, the parents' rule and the grandparents' rule, is like that sometimes it can be almost like an individual honour for them. Like, in terms of, you know, I'm sure Erin Healy has wanted to play for Ireland and so on. She mentioned that she has. But there's also a thing of like doing it for this person in her life. You know, this very important person in her life who is from Ireland and emigrated and so on. And she's like making him proud and doing it for him, and it was something that she always wanted to achieve for him. That I just think sometimes we can overlook that a little bit and think of it as a more, I don't know, fragile thing or something like that about the idea of nationality. I'm sure she could think of herself as American as well, but that connection to an Irish person who holds this ambition, it's lovely.
It's when you hear them
talk about that. You know, it's not her granddad. You know what I mean? Yeah. And think of that as like, and you forget that how young these players and things are and how close they would be to somebody like that in their life.
Definitely. It's not just opportunistic. It is a real connection. You've got other big women's football news for us as well?
Yeah, England goalkeeper Mary Earps has announced her retirement from international football with immediate effect. The 32-year-old was number one in the Lionesses side that won Euro 2022 and reached the World Cup final the following year, but had recently lost the starting spot to Chelsea's Hannah Hampton. Her decision to stand down after earning 53 caps comes ahead of this summer's European Championship in Switzerland. Earps, who joined PSG from Man United last year, was on the bench for three of England's four Nations League games this year, having rotated the position with Hampton throughout 2024. So a big loss to the England setup.
For sure. Now, one last thing. The sudden death extra time model has been proposed for the Lions test decider.
Yeah, this was maybe people weren't expecting this today. The Rugby Australia chief Phil Woff says the board of the British and Irish Lions is considering a proposal for sudden death extra time, which should be the deciding of the third test in the upcoming series finish, and if the series matches finish in a draw. In 2017, obviously in one of the great anticlimaxes in the history of the game, the Lions ended up sharing the series honour with the All Blacks after deciding third test ended in a 15-all draw. So this is kind of there to combat that, but I think you have strong feelings about this.
I feel like I'm going to, I don't know if it's strong feelings, because actually it does sound exciting. You know, you have three tests and you get down to it's extra time, sudden death. Like, you know, who's saying no, I suppose. My thing is just sometimes rugby, I think, is, Jerry was in here on, you know, talking about on Monday, you were talking about Henry Pollock and you were talking about how rugby, you know, and it's a regular conversation, it's basically eating itself, and that there is no, you know, we don't have that star, and it's just not, it's not shining true, you know, in the UK, for example, or in various parts of the world, and getting that media time and getting that attention. It's also not making money and so on. And I think sometimes their answer to it is make it more like football. And it's like there's a tradition to the Lions, sort of. I thought 2017 is an anticlimax. I thought that was an incredible thing. I thought there was that picture of the two squads together after three of the most amazing tests ever. It was like, because they could not be separated. And sometimes that's okay. Sometimes we don't need a winner. Maybe I'm completely wrong here, and that's fine. But rugby do it for everything. They do it for, like, recently they changed the idea of forever. the touring team, which would be away team, say, in the Six Nations, but sometimes it is a touring team, would wear their home jerseys on foreign soil if there was a clash, because of you were welcoming them to it, and it was the gentlemanly thing to do almost. And that was decided by World Rugby that this was not allowed anymore, because home teams should have the advantage, and we wanted to make sure. But it's like, that was a quirk of the game. What was wrong with it? Who was that harming? But it was a tradition that had gone back 100 years, and it was just thrown away with a flick of a pen for no real reason other than just trying to be more like the main sport in the world, which is football, and everything has to be like football.
Yeah. Also, as well, if you move, well, actually, this goes against your point. If you move away from the fact that a series can end in a draw, we'll finally put a pin in that really weird saying that rugby people tend to go to, the Steve Hansen quote after the 2017 draw, when he's like, a draw in a line series is a bit like kissing your sister.
Yeah.
And the whole world, what are you talking about?
Well, that's an American phrase for any tie, isn't it?
And I think Warren Gatland is a fan of that phrase as well. So I don't know. I don't think anybody lost sleep over the fact that the Lions couldn't win that series in the end. It was just, it is, to all intents and purposes, a bit of an exhibition anyway.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, the trophy doesn't go to somebody, the win doesn't go to somebody specific at the end of it, doesn't really matter all
that
much.
Would you like sudden net in the Ryder Cup? So in the Ryder Cup, you have to get 14.5 points to win it or 14 to retain.
I'd like sudden death in the Ryder Cup.
Yeah. See, I think, again, retain the Ryder Cup, you get your 14 points. There's nothing wrong with a competition and a tournament having its own rules, having its own way to win. And if you're not the champion, you have to win it and you have to wrestle it back off.
Is that not
the same as like a box? Yeah. If a boxing match is a draw, the champion keeps the belt. But it's okay. But again, it's because we're used to having it a certain way. We want all sports to conform into the same way. And I just have a general problem with that, I suppose.
There is a subtle difference, obviously, between the Ryder Cup situation and the Lions situation. Like, actually having to get over the line and win it back.
Yeah.
I'd be more accepting of that. And maybe, like, so say if Ireland went down to New Zealand and it was a draw and one win, one loss.
Mm.
Like, that would probably be less acceptable to me. But because it's the Lions, I'm okay with the draw, because...
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Who cares about who wins that anyway?
The third test and they can't be severed. I think there's something poetic about it almost. That'll be gone.
Right, we'll have to leave that there. That is Tuesday night's Newsround. Oisín, thank you very much.
Thanks, Liz.
Thank you.
The Newsround on Off the Ball.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.